Okay, here we have it, and we're at the Reskilling Reusing event for June 2017, and we're at the Portland Library, and I'm just doing a little sound check to make sure everything looks okay. It looks like we got signals coming in, and in addition to, hello, testing, yeah, we got signals coming in. And so we should be able to record this for posterity, and when we want to, we shall do that. So without, oops, let's see, this stopped recording. Oh, there it is. It's recording again. It just looks like the screen is kind of slow. That's all right. So I'll switch over to the PowerPoint presentation, which if you are availing yourself of the reskilling tools. There's a blog, metageny.com/reskill, and that blog will take you to the June 2017, and you'll see a slide set there as well as a audio podcast of this presentation. So being as though I have some props and I have my guitar with me, those things will be taken advantage of throughout the evening. You'll see exactly what that is all about. But I think we want to start out initially by stating again the purpose of why we would want to have a reskilling and a reusing event in a public place monthly. And the answer is that doing it more often, people would say, oh gosh, I can't even make monthly. And that's reasonable. But it is good to gather people together and have an opportunity to say, hey, this is what I learned, or hey, this is what I would like to ask someone about, whether or not it's stopped up plumbing, or if it has something to do with some sophisticated this or that and the other. It's not a problem. And the if you go to the slide set, first one has to do with kind of the is about reskilling, about what good it does, and that is, I think, that if you reskill and you're capable of doing something, not necessarily your career, but just generally life skill, you will lower your costs. Your costs will be lower if you are good at several skills. And you also contribute to society by positively doing your best to improve whatever it is that you're improving through your skill. And also, reskilling allows an opportunity for someone to think about stuff. Like, if I wanted to reskill, that takes actual practice and thinking, etc. So it's something to do and something to think about. There are a lot of other things to think about, and I think that reskilling has a lot of value. And we'll see as we progress in the slides here exactly what we're talking about. And the other aspect of reskilling is that, yes, there's a whole lot of physical and chemical and other kind of things associated with reskilling, but there also is the reskilling of psychosocial, getting skill set for that. But I think generally what we do here is we focus a whole lot more on the physical and chemical than the psycho and social. Now, that's reskilling, but for reusing, what's the difference there? Well, the same thing is, I think it will generally lower cost to the person who is reusing things, and also it will contribute to environmental healing, because you're not having to buy things brand new, extracted from various places on the planet and transported over here. You're just using what already is here to do the same thing. Also, it's something to think about and something to do. There's a lot of things to think about and do, and reusing is certainly a valid one. There's also the aspect of, with reuse, there's the physical and chemical aspects of reusing, but also, I guess there's some psychosocial aspects to reusing. like you're doing it, you know, everybody's doing it because it's popular, because it's the right thing to do to be kind to the environment, or you just feel good about yourself when you do it, even if no one's around. So those are some reasons why someone would want to reuse, practice reuse. And one thing I did mention on the Facebook was that this is kind of the same thing as Life Hack Anonymous, which is to say that if people are really into life hacks, this would be a great place to interact, to get ideas and share ideas. I think one aspect of to motivate towards life hacks would be whenever you find or do a hack, I think you feel good about yourself and you kind of feel less stressed, like you kind of won something. Like I did a hack and it was awesome and it saved me all kinds of this, that, and the other. And so I just think it's kind of a stress reliever to embrace the idea of hacking, whether it has to do with doing something that's cheaper, faster, or more lovely for the environment, etc. So that's kind of where I'm at in terms of the first slide with the rationale of why to do it. So now we get into the thumbs up portion of our presentation, which is what does this actually mean in practice and how do you go ahead and do reusing and reskilling. And so the first slide, which has a bunch of slides, pictures on it, basically is what I'm talking about now. And it has, for instance, in the upper left first picture is a bunch of green stuff. And that green stuff actually is very thoughtful. And it is what they call just a budding fruit tree from Louisville Groves. But underneath it, there is a companion plant, and it's called comfrey. And if you... it's easy to grow, and when you put it underneath it, placed like a tree, it helps to draw up nutrients from down below and then just kind of put it on the top so that the tree can have access to it. So it's a good way, that being one reason. There are probably others too, but so the beautiful thing is to have comfrey around. And so I definitely suggest you grab some comfrey. And it's easy to split off, so you can just grab comfrey from someone who has some already and put it at the various places that you want to be locations for there to be some fertilizing without actually having to add chemical fertilizer to the soil, but rather just the decaying leaves of the comfrey plant, etc. Okay, the second picture that I have listed there is when I was biking through a part of Portland, and Portland, Louisville, Kentucky, here we are, and there was a street that had just probably three dozen mopeds, and they all looked in various parts of disrepair, and it was quite obvious to me that someone was not destroying them, they were just trying to kind of fix them. So we have someone who is actually getting the reskill of repairing mopeds, which has great value because obviously it's gas costs money. You want to be able to get around real cheap, and mopeds are a prime example of something that would be cheap. And I would say the parts would be relatively inexpensive because the whole thing is pretty lightweight. So and you can probably interchange parts if you have multiples of the same kind of broken down moped. So that was neat to see as a reskill and a reuse. The third slide has to do with the wall between the cemetery and the elementary school in the Portland area. And it has some writing on it. It says, hard work plus resiliency plus teamwork. That's their motto, I guess, that the elementary school wants to portray to the cemetery. And that's good. But that's the that's the wall that I use to try to jump up on and vault over and for physical training. You know, instead of just doing regular push-up, you just try to jump up on that, and it is very high, so it requires a lot of effort to shimmy up that wall, and you do this thing called a mantling, or you do a mantle move. I felt it the next day, for sure, in my muscles, but after a couple of weeks, I could tell that I was getting a lot stronger, so that's kind of fun about what the science is, as well as what it did to my body through exercise. So that's, I guess that's not really a reskill or a reuse, but it's a life hack. The next slide is kind of dark, but it is of a man who was at the Portland Festival and gathered up aluminum cans from garbage cans, and there was a lot of them. So at the end of the evening, on Saturday night, he had gathered quite a bunch, and he's probably obviously going to bring in the aluminum, and you can get price per pound for the aluminum, and he was all about that. And so that's great to see that while most people were throwing aluminum cans away without a thought, this fellow was picking up the cans and saying, we should reuse this, and obviously that's a skill. He had an interesting tool, and he had a positive attitude, kind of outgoing personality, and those are obviously skills to have when embarking on such a good but unique kind of a thing. So good for him. Another thing that happened this last month had to do with a picture that I took there on the lower left of this presentation screen. And what happened is that the house that I had had a whole bunch of leftover wooden lattice, and so I just put it up in my porch decking stairway area, so as to kind of block any view of some of the ugly things that were there in the water features, gathering water and siphoning from one to the next. It just wasn't all that pretty, so the lattice does obscure the view. So that was a reusing of lattice that was just hanging around extra, as well as the skill of knowing to put it to good use by tacking it up to the decking. And obviously you had to do that in such a way as to not break the wood, because the wood in the decking lattice was very thin. So in some instances I had to pre-drill. In other instances the nail went in without the lattice, and the lattice just hung on it like a picture. So there's some aspects there that were kind of intriguing. The last picture in the slide had to do with, again, more uses of the lattice, which is there was an overhead area that was available, and it was in a right outside the back door, which got very sunny and hot in the summertime. So some lattices were put up there, as well as a very large piece of metal, which is left over from the kind of the protective hooding of the front of the house window. And I took that down, whatever that's called. And so that sheet metal was, instead of being tossed, was used to protect against the sun. So it's now, you know, 12 feet up in the air and protecting against the sun's heat. The next slide has a few slides in it that are of interest. And the first one, upper left, has to do with the fact that I had some need for straining some water and et cetera, and so I could use some fabric. So I was just biking through a alley and found someone had tossed out a bunch of clothing. So I picked some of the clothing up in the bag and then put it in water and soaked it for like a week, just to make sure that any bed bugs that were in it were dead and any weird chemicals would have potentially leached out of it. And then after, you know, drying them, they were obviously put to the uses that were intended. And so for anybody who needs a rag, I think you can always make sure that you can get some just by biking through the alleys. But once you have them, I guess you don't really need them. And there is an abundance of textiles in this country. And I don't know that we necessarily reuse them as much as we could, but here's an instance of when I did. The next slide to the right, up the middle upper, is a picture of a chair that I found in the alley with a broken leg. And so I found a 2x2 that also, yeah, and so I put the two together and I kind of drilled and shaped and filed and measured in such a way that there was a little piece of leg that would fit right into where the missing leg was. And then I got some great wood glue and then glued it with a clamp, and it's staying real good. And it is a chair that I got with a problem and I solved it with glue. And obviously it's not high profile, high beauty, but it works for the area that I need it in, and so that's great. If you don't mind, the lower left picture is also that same chair, which had a problem in the backing of the chair had a wooden strip, and the strip was severed right down the middle. So I went ahead and did the same thing, which is I glued that strip together and clamped it with clamps. And now it's great. So there was a reason that the chair was taken out into the alley, but I did some repairs to it, and so it's no longer worthy of being in the alley anymore, on account of what I just did there. Okay, another project that is rather interesting and involved had to do with a small ladder that was found in an alley, and it had a major problem, which was that its major strut did not connect to the top of the ladder, so there was a hinge problem big time. And I had to solve it using a lot of different tools. So the picture in the center bottom was of when I needed to cut a bolt out. I used a bolt cutter that I got cheap from Bargain Supply, and then I had to use a saw, and I had to use a file, and I had to find a piece of wood. I used a wooden lath and cut it to size that would fit into this rather large gaping hole in the top of the strut for the ladder. The picture shows it there, and glued that piece of wood in place, and left a little opening at the very bottom, which you can't see, for a bolt to go through. And I have to say now that has been successfully fixed, and a later picture will show it being in fine use. So that is a ladder that was DOA, dead on arrival, but it's been resuscitated. Now the another kind of reskilling has to do with finding and growing and propagating and watering raspberries. these happen to be in my front lawn, and they're proliferating very well. They're June bearing, and it is June, and they're doing just fine. I happen to have found a frisbee somewhere. I don't know if it was in the closet or if in an alley, but the upside down frisbee was what I used to gather up the raspberries, and as you can see, they look very delectable, and they in fact were tasty. And another type of reskilling has to do with something totally different, which is happens to be that like if someone has a what they call a hammer toe, which is if one of your toes kind of sticks up and knuckles down, kind of protrudes, it is it's something that kind of need a little support to bring it back down into place. There's a tight tendon and it needs to be stretched. So a technique that was used was to find something like a ribbon, and if you ever go to any conferences or any sports events, whatnot, they have these neck pieces of ribbon, and they're made out of this fabric, and then you just take one of those neck accoutrements and tie it in a knot at the right length, and so it can actually go through your the hammer toe and then go underneath your foot and wrap around the heel, and so that's a much better, that's a lot cheaper than, say, if you wanted to do it a different way, like go to a prosthetics or some sort of a biomedical supply place that would cost a lot of money for support for hammer toe elongation, right? So some other things that happened to me this month that I wanted to share in terms of reskilling, reusing, and hacking is the next slide. Had to do with some gardening features, and the top left slide is a fellow community gardener who has been busy this spring with some yellow squash, beets, and all kinds of greens, cabbages, and kale, and so properly tended, the garden can produce lots of good food. The slide right next to it is that's a picture of my garden, and it has actually quite a bit of comfrey in it, so I'm looking forward to transplanting the comfrey in various places underneath trees, etc. There also are some other vegetation that are more permanent perennials there, and also if you'll notice that they're around the black dirt, it's been piled up and then it's been seeded at the top of the pile, and then there'll be plants growing from there all summer. I've been involved in lots of other things, so I haven't had a chance to plumb to seed earlier, but since Kentucky has a very long growing season, it should still be okay. A lot of them are beans. Now the thing that kind of slowed me down from planting earlier happens to be the next slide, the top middle one, and that is that there is a community garden in a Germantown that has an extra shed, and then there's a community garden that's just starting underway, the shipping port garden here in Portland, and it had an established everything going for it, but then it lost its location, so it has to relocate, and it lost its storage facility, so I got approval to go ahead and take down that shed and move it over to the shipping port garden, which is on the rear end of the food forest, just like on 29th and Portland. The front end has blackberries and grapes and peaches, and in the back That's where the shed is going to be, and that's where the raised beds, et cetera, for vegetables are going to be grown for individual gardeners of the community garden. So that, I think, is kind of a cute picture where it just shows that all the bottom sides and ends are taken off, and the only thing that's holding up the roof is some support beams, which was a reskilling in and of itself to figure out how to, you know, get those support beams in place and then lock them in with screws, and it worked out really nicely. But it has a lot of force analysis in order to make sure that it was stable in all directions, because the wind can come and obviously blow pretty hard on an exposed shed like that. The next slide, upper right, is a picture of how that shed was ultimately moved. You know, the pieces, the 4x8s and plywood was easy to take in the back of a van, but the top roof was wanted to be taken all as one piece. So the van had to be backed right up to the tipped over roof, and then the roof was just hoisted onto the top of the van, and it and then went and just tied it down and went real slow to its final destination a few miles away. And it was hairy, but it worked out and successfully. Is that a reskilling and a reusing? Probably both, and a life hack altogether. That was a lot there. One feature was that there were some flowers there. I didn't know that whether they were going to make it or not when being run over by the van, but upon review, they look like they're going to be bouncing back just fine with irises and hardy. And if you look at the bottom middle picture, that's a picture of the site where there is no more shed. The shed is gone, and that's how that ended up. So that was quite the feat. And it showed bravery by just saying, yes, I'm going to do this, but not really exactly sure how I was going to do it, and it was done. So that's great. I wanted to go to another thing that happened this month, which was the lower left picture has a picture of a bicycle tire. So my tire, obviously there was a flat because I was on the street instead of the typical bike path. Bike path is really good. Streets are really bad. And typically I put a Teflon ribbon right between the tire and the tube so that nails will never go into the tube and get a flat. And that's been the way it has been for several years for me. But what happened was that I just didn't want to bother with finding that Teflon strip because it was in a different tire, and I didn't want to go through the bother. So I had an idea, which is to take the old inner tube, because the new inner tube was just a little bit smaller than the actual tire itself. So it was going to be kind of an inner tube is a little bit big. The inner tube is a little bit small for the tire. So I actually filled in the void space there with the rubber, the flattened rubber from the old inner tube that had a hole in it. And so and I took out the post, so the stem, so that wasn't an issue at all. And so it worked out really well, and I can recommend that to everybody who wants to not get flat tires quite so often. Just have it so that there is a layer of something, whether it be Teflon or even your old inner tube. Just go ahead and put it there to protect the surface of the inner tube, which holds air pressure. So that is there. It's a reuse, and it's a reskill, and it's a hack. And that was pretty neat. The last slide on this, last picture on this slide is right bottom, is a picture of me recycling church newsletters and et cetera. And so that is it's just a reuse. It's just a recycling. But a lot of times, like in there, I found a real good coffee can. So I used that coffee can to fill up put a lot of raspberries in it and give it away as a gift. So you can just kind of find containers in recycle bins. If you go to your local place that has a recycle bin. And the next slide indicates and shows this red cup that I found. It's a Folgers coffee container that I found in the recycling, and I'm reusing it as a raspberry holder. And you can see when I harvested it and brought it to a place. And if you look at the sign in the middle upper picture, it says, I think it's like Portland Health Center or something like that. And so I went in there, and then the right upper picture is of the community outreach staff that are there at the health center, which works to portray healthy everything for the Portland community. So the staff there is neat, and they appreciated my gift of raspberries. But that was kind of, I'd say, a life hack, which is just kind of go up and give the staff, say, some raspberries to kind of cut the ice, break the ice a little bit in terms of developing relationships with community partners that are wanting the good things to happen in the neighborhood. Now, of this same slide, the lower left picture is a picture about a couple of houses away from me, and it is an apple tree, a lot of apples in the tree, but a lot of them are starting to fall. And so I picked up a whole bunch of them that had fallen and put them in the compost. You can see that a lot of them were just crushed on by tires, but I saved a few, and they're now decomposing and going to become nutrients for the raspberry in next year. You never know, in my yard. And here is a kind of a reuse, reskill hack. And the middle bottom picture is of a maple tree that is just being planted. The actual planting procedure happens by using a post hole digger, which is very nice because it produces a nice deep narrow hole. So the tree, which was being housed temporarily in that black plastic container, was deep and narrow, and so it just fit right in quite nicely. And the tan container has water, and it's just about to get deluged with water, which newly transplanted trees, of course, like that a lot. The thing about the tree was that it just sprung up in the backyard and was brought over to the front yard, and there it is. Just going to give it a shot at it. There's some safety sticks put around it, and I might put a tomato cage around it too, just to make sure that people don't step on it inadvertently. Now the lower right hand picture is of that shed in the community garden that was moved, and now it is a new location, and it is sitting in the site where it eventually will be located. But when I looked at the analysis and analyzed the structure of the shed actually would be better if there was some 4x4s that were supporting it to make it more sturdy. And so the post hole digger, I used that to dig some more holes. So we got four holes there, which we'll fill with the cement and some 4x4s to make the shed more sturdy. So that's now the 4x4s are dumpster dived, so those are going to be reused. And it's obviously a skill for me to figure out how to do that efficiently, get them level and get them in the exact location, not too narrow together so that the shed doesn't fit, but just the perfect distance. So it's kind of a skill to analyze and make sure that I get it right. Now the next slide has a few pictures on it, and if you notice, the upper left is a picture of the other side of the community garden where the shed is. You can see the shed roof, and you can see the garden with the blackberries and a couple of trees with too much poison ivy on it, so I got to cut that out. And if you'll see the next picture in the upper middle, I was making an attempt to get it some of the poison ivy, and I didn't get it all, so I have to keep nibbling at it. And also, this is Louisville Grow's property, so I also will entreat them to cut it down as well with the volunteers that they have. And we'll see if it doesn't overgrow. We don't want that to happen. And another feature of the Louisville Grows and its community garden and the shipping port has to do with the old shipping port garden has huge peach trees. So the upper right picture is of a couple of peach trees that are laden so full of orange, peaches turned orange, and they're not quite ripe, but they're really getting good looking. And they, I guess, need to be pruned down because there's like four peaches to a clump, and if they're too tight together, then they can rot, and then the beetles can get in there and eat them way too readily. So that needs to be actually another volunteer item for someone. And then ultimately, probably in the fall, those trees are going to be moved over to either your shipping port community garden or the food forest or somewhere else like that, which is a project. It's not something that can be done quickly. It has to be coordinated with a lot of people and a lot of equipment. But something that can be done, it's a little bit easier, is the lower left, is the raised bed gardens in the old shipping port community garden, and they need to be moved over to the new shipping port community garden. So those white hoops, the round rods, they can be removed by a electric drill because they're just screwed in. And I think the wood is a star-tipped screw, so you need to get a star script that fits, and then it'll just unscrew and can be taken to the new community garden. And then there's a whole bunch of dirt in there. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of plants in there, but I'm not sure that they're actually valid plants. I'm not sure that someone is tending them at all, so I'm not too worried. But anyway, that is a project that needs to either be done by anybody who wants to do it, including myself, which I did do a little bit of work of. Another thing that needs to happen and is happening is that the rocks from the shipping port, old shipping port, needs to be brought over to the new shipping port. And so those are some big rocks. I moved one of them, but it was heavy, and some of them are a lot heavier than that one. So it's quite a deal to get them over. But it is a task that lays in front. And it just requires either a lot of work or a lot of thinking about how to get those stones into a vehicle without too much work. The next slide has to do with something else that happened this month, and that is the lower right side of the screen has a couple of pictures, and one is of the stairway, and on the right-hand side you got some bricks that are kind of bulging, and so I've taken like a 2x12 and I've taken a 1x5 or something on the left, and then a cross piece that is perfectly measured, just got lucky I guess, and then I'm jamming the cross piece and tightening it, and then they just kind of protecting the bricks from further blowout, and also maybe pushing it back over time. We'll have to see how that goes, but that's an initial effort to straighten up the brick wall that was kind of bulging. And then in another area, there is a situation where there's plumbing that goes through the floor and into the crawl space. But the crawl space, but there's, you know, obviously quite a large hole, so I don't want a lot of moisture from the crawl space going up into the main part of the house, if at all possible. So I'll go to the next slide, and you will see the upper left couple of pictures. You can see that there is that same piece of plumbing on the flooring, but it has been covered up quite substantially by the use of a that is a vinyl siding piece. It's just a piece of vinyl siding, and that was dumpster dived in the alley. And the scissors there, the pinking shears, were sharpened using the rotary hand-powered grinder that is in the kind of the middle top picture. You can see the grinder and the scissors right next to it that are being sharpened. So those are very sharp, cut through the vinyl siding quickly. And it just made one cut up to where the plumbing was, and then I cut a circle around where the plumbing was. So it was, it's a nice feature that it basically has just one cut to the opening of the plumbing. And now that barrier is in place, at least a little bit better. Now on the outside, I also noticed that there was a hole coming in from the outside, not just the underneath the house. So I basically found some a quick remedy for the moment, which is to find some bricks and put some bricks not only along the bottom by the sidewalk, but also put bricks up into kind of the corner piece there. So there's just that whole area kind of been bricked over for the time being, and now it's a lot less ability for flow and animals, whatnot, to go into the house, where it was before it was capable of doing so. So that was kind of reusing some things, and obviously some rescaling and a hack on using the hand-powered grinder instead of buying an electric one. Now the another thing I wanted to mention was that is I would say very creative is a walk down my alley, couple of houses, and came upon this fence. That's to the upper right, and it is a mishmash beyond belief. It almost looks like it's art, and I don't know what it's supposed to protect from, but it is certainly highly creative, and it obviously is reusing old pieces of wood, and it's performing its function, I guess, to somehow keep something out or keep something in. So that's that. That's all the story I can say. But in that same alley at my property, if you go to the left lower picture, I have a fence that's more substantial and in such a way that I have not yet made a facile door with hinges. So instead of using my drill gun in order to deconstruct the wall in order to get from the backyard to the alley, I've devised a means by going up a ladder on one side and then placing a ladder on the other and then walking down on the other side. So this is the ladder that I fixed earlier in the slide set. I showed you a picture of that, and now it's being used quite nicely, and you can see that I'm standing on the top of it. Now this ladder is only about 4 feet tall. It's only got, you know, 4 steps, so it's not really all that high up, but it's high enough so that I can get over the fence, which is probably 7 feet tall. And so that's how I'm using that ladder to go to the alley and then explore the alley and see what's there, which is very good. And so that would be kind of a reskill for me. I've never done such a thing, which is to use two ladders to get up and down something that was tall. That'll definitely be coming in handy in the future as well. Another reuse and reskill has to do with the pictures that are in the bottom middle that are kind of yellowish. And if you look at the picture of the right of the two yellow pictures, there's a hammer and a vise and some metal elbows. And by using the vise and the hammer, those elbows are all now nice and straight. The picture on the left is a little blurry, and it was an attempt to show just how badly misshapen those elbows were. And so those elbows are very sturdy, and they took a lot of force to get back into shape. But now they're nice. They have great capability for any time I have an inside turn of a wooden structure. Those can be put in place and it can be held really firmly without having to pay $10 or $12 at a store to buy them fresh and smelted from China or Korea or whatnot. They're just right here, right now. And one thing that happened this month I have to celebrate, and that is that I was biking to downtown from Portland, and I went past Waterfront Park, and I noticed that in the previous, all my years of doing that, there has been a dump, calling it a dumpster, and all kinds of stuff has been put into there. But now I see that right next to it, lo and behold, there is a recycling bin there, a very large one. So now when they're having waterfront events, people can now recycle and with that bin there. And that is so cool, because last month I think I shared with you that there was this tiny little recycling bin, and it was so homely, and there was so much recycling that was in the dumpster that was not in the recycling container. And so it was kind of a farce, and this is a redemption of that for sure. So go rah-rah city. So that's kind of the end of the slideshow that, I just take a bunch of pictures of ideas that come to mind in terms of reskilling, reusing, and hacking, and then I put together into a mishmash using Google Photos. And now that's all done, just a couple more concepts that I wanted to portray terms of what reskilling and reusing and all that stuff really have to do, not just mechanical, oh, look what I did with a vise and a hammer, but just kind of in a larger perspective of what it means to be a thriving, intelligent human being that we all are. And it's been known that, just to remind us, that there are different ways that people do learn and reskill, relearn, and reuse and hack. And that is that there are visual people that see something and they can burn it into their brain forever. Other people, if they hear it, it's extremely useful for them to remember it because they just have the ability for their brain to remember what they hear a whole lot. And then others, they remember so much more when they do something with their hands, body, whatnot, and that's called kinesthetic. So there's three types of learners: visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. And of course, anybody who wants to teach anything wants to have all three of those things done. And if anybody wants to help others, just do the same. So to be taught that way is good, and to teach others would also be good to do all three, but obviously accentuate that which is more receptive to your audience as you see fit. Another feature that I find interesting in terms of what it means to be not really reusing, but reskilling, and there's reskilling in terms of physical, chemical, but also psychosocial. Psychosocial reskilling has to do with just being aware of the various types of intelligence. And here I've got a slide that indicates that there's intelligence of spatial intelligence, naturalist intelligence, musical intelligence, logical, mathematical intelligence, existential intelligence, interpersonal intelligence, bodily kinesthetic intelligence, and linguistic intelligence, and intrapersonal intelligence. Now, the intrapersonal is the understanding yourself and what you feel and what you want. And the existential is tackling the questions of why we live and why we die. And all the others are pretty much self-explanatory, I do believe. I guess people have the ability to do all these, and some are just more adept at others, but as we all know, by experience and training and practice and determination, we can excel or do all these things if we want to. It's just a matter of prioritization. And moving on, I think there are some other psychosocial skills. The lower left indicates that the skill, there are personal skills, there are communication, interpersonal skills, there are research and inquiry skills, there are ethical, social, and professional understanding skills, and information literacy skills. So of course there's an overlap between the types of intelligence we have and the skills that we have, and these are all just more of the same way of expressing the fact that we are creative and talented human beings. And we have the ability to do a lot of different things, and we should have lots of confidence in them. And if we are exploring our confidence, we can certainly just move ahead with trying things out and get it to the point where we feel like we're a very valid human being moving ahead and doing great things on this planet that we're at. That was being very existential, by the way. And then the final instance I have as an example of reskilling has to do with a whole bunch of set of skills that are classified into three areas: social, conscious, and analytic. So of the conscious kind, there's this thing called prediction and modeling and experimentation and evaluation. And then the analytic, there's more diagnosis, planning, causation, and judgment. And then with social, there's influence, teamwork, negotiation, and describing. So again, it should be nicely overwhelming to realize that there are so many features of skills, intelligences, and approaches of learning that are out there. Obviously, it's very nebulous and it's very vague. So it's always fun to talk about what I did, what happened this month with plants or what with hardware, or what I picked up in the alley. But these larger features are obviously a very important part of making a difference in our world. And I guess I wanted to leave it with the idea of to be happily overwhelmed. And I guess I'll say that again, which is to be happily overwhelmed, and that's a beautiful thing. So with that, I want to take an opportunity to sing a song with my guitar, and it is called A Yellow Submarine.
To the sun, till we found the sea of green, and we lived beneath the waves in our yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. And our friends are all aboard, many more of them live next door, and the band begins to play. And as we live the life of ease, every one of us has all we need. Sky of blue and sea of green in our yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine. We all live in a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine, a yellow submarine.
And that song reminded me of what I did, what happened earlier this month. I have no pictures about it. There was this thing called Portland Festival, and I played my guitar and sang several silly and interesting songs for that festival, both Friday and Saturday nights. And I have to say that there was some aspects of reskilling and reusing there, if you don't mind me saying so. One was that I hadn't been playing the guitar all that much, and I knew that my fingertips were going to be really bad off if I played without having calluses on my fingertips. So all the week before, I had been sticking my fingernails into the tips of my fingers for my left hand, and sure enough, they all became calloused and nice and firm and strong, so that I didn't have any trouble with the sensitive fingers at all during my performance, which is awesome. Another interesting thing that happened that I needed to kind of hack was that the stand for the music didn't quite stay right, so I needed to go get some duct tape and duct tape something in order to make it work out right. And I needed to have a quick analysis of what was wrong and what needed to be done and where to actually find the tape in order to make that happen. And obviously I wanted not to have that not happen again, and so I haven't quite figured out what I'm going to do there, but that's perfectly fine. I'll just figure it out eventually. I do have other music stands that I can use as well, But anyway, it's certainly an interesting adventure to stand up on stage and go ahead and sing. I highly recommend everybody to do that who wants to, of course. So I guess in closing, I have a couple of other just kind of features that I wanted to mention. And one is that when I was earlier this month discussing amongst myself, oh, is there what are other people doing about reusing, reskilling in Louisville? And I came across this person. And so the slide presentation has the next slide, which is has a website, myrepurposedlife.com. And apparently there's a book that was written in 2013, Free for All Friday or something. And it looks like she said in the website, hi there, I'm Gail Wilson, the author and mastermind behind My Repurposed Life. I'm obsessed with finding potential in unexpected places and believe that with a little hard work and imagination, any old thing can be made useful again, myself included. I hope you'll enjoy the journey and pick up a few tools along the way, literally. So that's her orientation. That's who she is. And I think she's probably still around, Gail Wilson. And so someone in the future could probably follow up and make a useful connection there. And let's see, another idea that I had this month, I think I lost the pictures to it, has to do with gardening plants. And if you go ahead and use a mirror or aluminum foil, you can double the amount of sunlight that this plant gets exposed to. So I learned that when I was biking to work and I got real close to the Ohio River at a certain location, and the sunshine is so extremely bright and hot because of the reflection off the water. So it just is a reminder to me of the importance of that. And there are all kinds of different ways to do that. One is to have mylar sheets on the ground, and so the sunlight doesn't go to the dirt, it goes back up to the plants. Like, for instance, if you put it under fruit trees or whatnot, you can get sunlight underneath the tree. I think that's probably a good idea to keep the reflective material on the ground. Otherwise, if you have the material up high, then the wind, if it gets strong, can really whip around anything, and your aluminum foil is toast or whatnot. So that's a really fun thing that everybody's got aluminum foil, and you can do that, especially with indoor house plants, because there's not any high winds that happen indoors. You can get some good reflection going on. Let's see, another thing happened. And I just thought of that. It would be kind of fun to potentially get a group of people and just do a progressive dinner, which is that you go to one house and you visit there and have like appetizers. You go to another house and have another course, and then you go to another house and have a third course or dessert. And along the way, with each of those homes, the owner of the home can kind of have an open house indicating in what aspects they've done reskilling, reusing, or hacking. And it's nice to have dreams. It's nice to have an imagination. And so I'm brave enough to write that down and put it out there. And I guess I say here, it'd be video recorded, but we'll see about that. And I think one other thing that happened this month was that there was a cooking class. And it's useful to think about what kind of good nutrition you can get for not much money, but stay away from stuff that's not healthy. So you have some general food stocks. I mean, it's called, bread, rice, potatoes, pasta, whatnot. And you can add all kinds of things to it to add interesting flavors. And obviously, sugar and salt and vinegar make it taste good, as well as peanut butter. And so, you know, there's bananas and pickles and ketchup and chocolate and all these things, if they're added in, can make very cheap starches taste really good, and so as to be a life hack. And so that for sure happened. I guess while I'm just concluding here, there was I have a health coach, and I came up with a whole bunch of exercises that I'm sharing right here. And I want to tell you that it's difficult to achieve goals, but it's nice to have them anyway and know what you didn't do. You know, one has to do with the skill development of making your own wine. Another one has to do with growing plants from just a twig that you just break off a branch, and then you can put it in the ground and you can start your own plant that way. And obviously it's useful to have a coach to be encouraging myself to plant my garden and to do exercises in various ways, whether that be strengthening or cardiovascular or just the number of steps that I do or how fast my heart rate gets up to, and also practicing being a rock climber, which I always encourage anyone to do, practicing rock climbing as well as climbing trees. but you never heard it from me, because if you get hurt, you can't come back at me, because I'll deny it all. And then the last portrayal is the article that hopefully will be printed by the Anchor, the Portland Anchor, in July, when it comes out here very soon. And I won't bother with it, but it is a nice article. I would have to say so myself. So I think, without further ado, can't think of anything else that I want to do. I mean, except for one more thing, and that is that I found here at the library, I found a book. It's called The Random House Book of Fairy Tales. And I want to read two paragraphs and then we'll be done. It's called The Emperor's New Clothes. In a country by Hans Christian Andersen. In a country far away, there was once an emperor who loved nothing better than new clothes. All his money was spent on shirts and doublets and pants and clothes and cloaks. He never drove in the woods or went to the theater or reviewed the troops in the army unless he was showing off some new costume. The emperor had clothes for every hour of the day or evening, and whenever his minister wanted to find him, they had only to look in his dressing room. Life was very gay in the great town where he lived. The streets were thronged with strangers, and one day two swindlers were among them. They made themselves out to be weavers and said they would weave cloth more beautiful than any in Russia on earth. Not only were the colors and patterns superb, but the garments that were made from the cloth had the amazing quality of becoming invisible to all who were dull or incompetent, and so the swindlers claimed. And it goes on from there. That was it's good to read. It's good to read good stuff. And I think that fairy tale is an awesome fairy tale. And if you don't know why, ask someone else around town and they might be able to tell you. So again, this is the reskilling and reusing class. And it is now time to close. And it'll be popped up, the audio as well as the presentation, the PowerPoint, at metageny.com/reskill. Metageny spelled M-E-T-A-G-E-N-Y. metageny.com/reskill. They'll bring you to the blog, and you just pick the month that you want to listen and look at the presentation. And that, I guess, is all I have to say. This is obviously the last Tuesday of every month, and it is in the Portland Library Auditorium, open to all, free, And so come out and enjoy a good time if you want to come here and do talk reskilling, I guess. It's basically what we're doing, isn't it? All right, signing off for now.